Luke chapter number 16, starting in verse number 19. We're going to look today at the realities of hell. The realities of hell, okay? It's a reality. It's real. It's a real place. People are dropping off there every second of every day, and they have been, and they will continue to. What are we doing about it? What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? And so we're going to look here today in Luke chapter number 16, starting in verse number 19 there. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." The realities of hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, which is abundant here today. Lord, thank you for your word, the truth of your word, Lord. And I do pray, now that you fill me with your Spirit, I pray you use me to speak your truth here today, Lord. And I do pray, if there is somebody here on their way to hell, Lord, on this path, Lord, that today is the day they will get off of that road and call on you to save them here today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for everything that you do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, many people today, they deny the existence of hell. They say hell is not real. Hell is a myth. Hell is a figment of our imagination. But let me tell you, just because you deny something doesn't make it so, okay? You can think you are Superman and you can go jump off of the Sears Tower, but you will find out real fast you are not Superman. Right? You will find out real fast when you hit that pavement that you were wrong. Right? You see, the Bible is clear. Hell is a real place. It is a literal place of torment for all of those who die without Jesus Christ. For those of you that do say hell is not real, do you realize you are going against the very words of Jesus Christ? The very God, the very Creator of all things, you are going against Him. And you see, Jesus spoke a lot about hell. He taught more about hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, warned us over and over and over again in His Word, about the realities of hell. And we say, why would He do that? Because He don't want you to go there. See, He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Right? He wants all people saved today. Listen, let me ask you, if hell is not real, why would Jesus spend so much time preaching on hell? So, for instance, He said in Matthew 10:28, He says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Matthew 25, verse 41, he said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." He also says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, he says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." 44, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Hey, we're talking about a real place here. We're talking about Jesus' teaching on the realities of hell. Now imagine you're driving toward a washed-out bridge. Right, there are flashing lights, there's roadblocks, there's warning signs telling you to turn around, okay? But you ignore those warning signs and you speed forward, confident that nothing is going to happen. And finally, you plunge off of the bridge to your doom. You see, that is the fate of those that ignore God's warning about hell. You see, we need to understand hell was not even created for you and I. Hell was not created for any man. God never intended for anyone to go there, okay? He don't want you to go there, but He gave us a choice. He gave us a free will. We all get to choose. We all get to choose whether we accept Him or we reject it or reject Him. He didn't make any of us robots. Aren't you glad about that? Right, we're not pre-programmed to do this and this and this. He gave us a free will. But you know, whenever Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam sinned, all humanity became guilty before God. Wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And those who reject that gift of salvation will share in the same eternal punishment that was intended for Satan and his demons. Now, as we look at our text here today, we can see in our text that hell is a place of unspeakable torment and suffering. Okay? And so, hey, you may not like to think about it, right? A lot of people don't want to think about it. But this is the realities of hell. So first of all, I want you to see here, there is a reality of death. All right? There's a reality of death. Look there in verses 22 and 23 of Luke chapter 16. He says there, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." Hey, listen. Lazarus died and was escorted to paradise. He was escorted into heaven. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Now this rich man, you can imagine, he was rich, he had lots of money. So no doubt he would have had the best funeral there is. He would have had that extravagant funeral, he would have had the most impressive grave site, the most most impressive cemetery. It would have just been voila, right? But here's the thing, he knew nothing about it. He knew nothing about it. He was not there to enjoy it. The Bible says that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You see, his body went to the ground. His body went to the grave. But he went off into eternity. In eternity and hell. You see, now Lazarus, he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He was escorted right into heaven. So here we have two men. We have two men with two different sets of circumstances. They both die. All right? One goes to heaven, one goes to hell, but the reality of life is that you and I are one day going to die. The reality of life is that we all die. Every single person has to come to grips with this. Death comes for everybody. Young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. Every person comes to face this fact. We all die. The Bible tells us that. The Bible is true in everything. And the Bible tells us. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, we all have an appointed time. Listen, the appointed time is coming for every single person. All right, we all have this on our forehead, an invisible alarm clock. All right, we all have an invisible alarm clock. We can't see it, but we all know it's there, and God knows that day, that time, that moment. And here's the thing, today could be that day. Today could be that day for me. Today could be that day for you. That we don't know when that day is coming, but the reality is we all die. The reality is there's coming a day, but the reality is also that after death, there is a judgment. Heaven or hell. Off into eternity. You see, once you die, there's no second chances. There's no second chances. You do not get to hear the gospel again and have the opportunity for grace at your disposal today. You won't hear the gospel when you die and go to hell. You'll never have that opportunity for repentance. Now imagine, there's two passengers boarding a plane. One bound for paradise and the other bound for destruction. Both are unaware of their final destination until they arrive. This is the majority of people in the world today. We live comfortably. We live in our own routines. We do what we want to do, and we just keep pushing through life, and we go to work, and we pay the bills, and we do this, and we do that, but we never give any thought to the reality of death. There's coming a day when we're all going to die, but we just continue on living like we're not going to die. But the Bible says we will die, and then there is a judgment to come. You see, we're in 2025 now, right? So let me tell you, the death rate in 2025 is still one per person. It's still one per person. We all must face the reality of death. And you say, why? Well, all the way back when Adam sinned. And now the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the truth of the matter is we all deserve hell. According to God's Word, we've all sinned. We've been separated from God. We deserve that judgment. You see, every one of us have broken God's law. Every single one of us worship ourselves. We worship the things we possess. We worship the things that we desire way more than we've ever worshiped God. We're all guilty. Anybody disagree? I think not. We're all guilty, right? The Bible says we're all guilty. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. And then because of that, we're separated from God. No matter how much we try, we cannot bridge that gap on our own. We cannot do enough good works to get to heaven. It won't happen. Now think about it. If we're truly separated from a perfect and holy God, then there is only one alternative. Hell. There is the only alternative for that person to go who is separated from God. But here's the reality of life is the reality of death. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's our life. You know, a little here and gone, right? On the tombstone, right? You have the birth date, you have the day that you died, and in the middle is that little dash, right? That's your life, right? Here and gone, like that. But here, that's just the reality of life. It's the fact that we're all going to die. Let me give you a second thing about reality. I want you to see here the reality of judgment. The reality of judgment. Right, we see the reality of death, but you know the Bible says after death, the judgment. Look there at verses 23 and 24 in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Right? He's screaming for mercy. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see, it's a reality. Hell is a reality. Judgment of hell is a reality. And I've just given you a reminder here today that very scripture that we're reading today is a teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We need to take heed to His Word, right? If you're here today and you've been born again, you've been saved, You're going to heaven. You never have to go to this place of hell.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for it. Hey, this is a reminder for you. But if you're here today and you've never been born again, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection, hey, if you walk out of here today, you're going to be like this rich man dying here. And in hell, you will lift up your eyes, being in torment. You will never get out. This guy is still here 2,000 years later. Here we are today. He's screaming for mercy. He's screaming for one drop of water. But hey, get this. People want to say this is a parable. This is not a parable. This is a teaching of Jesus Christ. This is His Word. This is a true account, right, of the torture, the extensive torture of hell, right? Jesus never mentioned any other names in any other of the parables. He gives us the names here, but this is a true story. You got to see here the reality of judgment. I want you to see there in verse 24. I want you to notice something there. Right? He asks for mercy. Right? Underline. He asks for mercy. But the days of grace are gone. Right? He doesn't ask for grace. He asks for mercy. Mercy, we know, is not getting what he deserves. You see, he knows he's in hell getting what he deserves. But he's crying for mercy. Is there any mercy out there? The days of grace are over, but is there any mercy? Hey, this guy, when he woke up in hell, he knew some things, okay? He knew that hell is not the grave. A lot of people out there, they want to say, when I die and go to the grave, that's going to be hell. That's going to be it. But this guy knew hell is not the grave. He died, he was buried, and immediately, there was no time in between, immediately, he found himself in the flames of hell. He wasn't dying and going to the grave and that was it. No. You know, there's some other people out there who want to teach that hell is annihilation. Right? This man realized that hell was not annihilation. He was fully aware. He remembered. He had his feelings. He had his thoughts. You know what? I'm sure he remembered every time somebody gave him the gospel. I bet he remembered every time somebody knocked on his door and gave him a tract and invited him to church. He remembered, but you see, hell is not annihilation. He knew for sure that he didn't just burn up and cease to exist. But he knows that now. And in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You see, hell is that eternal place. The reality of hell is it is real, it is eternal, it is everlasting punishment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? You see, hell is not annihilation. Hell is separation, being separated from God. Hell is being separated from the Lord Jesus Christ and torments. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse number 11, it says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. That is the reality of death. That is the reality of judgment. That is the reality of death. There is no annihilation in hell, right? Hell is eternal. But you know what else? This guy also realized that a loving God will allow men to go to hell. He realized that a loving God will allow a man to go to hell if that's what he chooses. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? Hey, God, if you choose to go to hell, God will let you. He will not make you get saved. He will not make you come to Him. He will not make you do it. But hey, He loves you. He loves you, and He's already paved the way so nobody has to go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, some 2,000 years ago, God sent His very Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He died on that cross. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That is the gospel message. That is what you got to trust, put your trust in. Hey, not trust in yourself. not trust in baptism, not trust in your good works to get you there. Jesus paid it all. Right? He talked more on hell so you wouldn't go there, and then He paid the sacrifice so you wouldn't have to go there. Right? He's up on that cross. He's about to take His last breath, you know, with your sin and my sin upon Him. And He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why have You turned Your back on me? Why have You left me here? Right? God couldn't look at our sin upon Him. But He paid it all so that no man would go to that place. Listen, you're here today and you're 16 years old. You're here today and you're 96 years old. It doesn't matter. You come to Jesus Christ today, He will save you. He will give you eternal life. He will free you from ever having to go here and the realities of hell. But He will not make you come to Him. You must decide. You must decide. And when you decide, it'll change your life. I was 38 years old, on my own way, doing my own thing, living life, right? Living life the way I wanted to. But the Lord changed me. Right? That Holy Spirit of God came in and He changed me. He gave me life. I didn't realize it, but I was dead. I was dead in my sin and my trespasses. I was dead on the road to destruction, on the road to hell. I didn't even realize it. I could have easily gone off into eternity a whole bunch of times. But the mercy of God, the grace of God kept me alive. He knew that on 2014, August 2014, that I would get born again. He knew that I would get saved, and He knew that that would change my life. That simple salvation changed my life. It changed my wife's life. It changed my son's life. It changed our whole path. Everything changed and ultimately led us here today. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. But I also want you to see that hell is not purgatory, okay? This man knew he was going to stay in hell forever. He wasn't going to get out because he asked Lazarus to go be a witness to his brothers. He didn't ask if he could go. He knew he couldn't get out. He asked Lazarus to go. Now here's the thing. A lot of what's wrong in our country, a lot of what's wrong in the world today, is the very fact that we've lost the concepts of punishment and judgment, right? Our kids do something wrong and not my kids. My kids will never do that. You're wrong. My kids will never do that, right? Right? There's no punishment. There's no judgment. And that's carried over into this world that, you know, people commit, I wouldn't be with that other day, right? There's no punishment. There's no justice. We've lost sight of the truth of the matter that there is a holy God, a holy righteous God, and that we are all accounted to Him, whether you're saved or lost. One day every knee will bow before Him, but we have lost the fear of God in this country. We have lost the fear of God in this world. We've lost the fear of God in the church house. What does that say for us? We've lost the fear of God, and that's what drives us to continue in our sin. But we have no fear of God. We have no fear of a holy, righteous judgment. We have no fear of one day us standing before a holy, righteous God. And so we don't fear, and so we're able to continue into our sin. We're able to blatantly stay away from church and go out and do our own thing. Right? We're able to blatantly go places we shouldn't go to. Right? We're able to blatantly look at things on the internet that we know we're not supposed to, right? Because there's no fear. Right? There's no fear. So many people don't preach on church on hell nowadays. So many churches don't ever mention the word hell. Hey, if you mention the word hell, you're going to offend people. It's in the Bible. If you're a preacher, you got to preach everything, right? You got to preach it all. You got to preach the hard things. You got to preach the easy things. Hey, you got to preach it all. Preach the word. All right? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You gotta preach the hard things. Why? Jesus loved you enough to tell you about hell so you wouldn't go there. I love you enough to preach on hell because I don't want any of you to go there. I don't want anybody in Macon to go there. I don't want any of these young kids back here to go there. I want to bring all the kids in here. I want to bring everybody in here. I want everybody to get the gospel, to hear the gospel. So they can't say, I never heard. This rich man, he knew. He knew about Jesus. He knew about heaven. He knew about salvation. But he rejected it because why? Hey, he was having too much fun in life. He was having too much fun enjoying life. Look, I'm with you, all right? I'm with you, but the more that I'm in the Word, the more I don't want to be in this world. But it's great to have fun. I want to have fun. Right? But there's certain things Christians shouldn't do. Right? Certain things, places that Christians shouldn't go. Right? He talks about separation. There's things that a Christian should not do, should not look at. Right? There's internet sites we shouldn't be on. Right? Our kids should not have cell phones. On supervised cell phones. In the bedroom alone. Right? I read you that article right, the other day about that. Cell phone and kids in their rooms alone. Right? I read you that. But I want you to see this rich man and you and I today, we live a life without really fearing God. But turn over to Mark. Hold your place here and turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. Look there in Mark chapter 9, and I want you to look starting in verse number 43. In Mark chapter 9, look there at verse number 943. Mark 9:43, okay? In Mark 9:43, the Bible there, it says, "Into the fire that never shall be quenched." Now stay with me. Verse 44 says, "And the fire is not quenched." Verse 45 says, "Into the fire that never shall be quenched." Verse 46, "And the fire is not quenched." Verse 47, "To be cast into hell fire." Verse 48, "And the fire is not quenched." Hey, what do you think the Lord is saying here? Do you think that hell is not a real place? Do you think He's trying to get us to the point where, well, hell's not real? No, He's trying to show us hell is a real place. Hell is a real fire. Hell, your thirst will never be quenched. The fire will never be quenched. You'll be just like this rich man begging for one drip of water to cool your tongue. I want you to move. I got to move on here to my third point here. I want you to see the reality of hell is there is no escape. All right, so we saw the reality of death. We saw the reality of judgment. We see the reality that there is no escape. In hell, look there in Luke 16, verse 26. In verse 26, the Bible says, "And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." You see, that rich man, he was in hell. He wasn't getting out. He wasn't getting out. He was fixed in hell. Lazarus was fixed in paradise. He wasn't coming to him. There was no passing from hell to paradise. There was no passing from paradise to hell. There was a permanent gulf there that was fixed for the purpose of keeping other people out. Right? That sinner, that one that chooses to reject God in this life, that one that chooses to reject Jesus Christ, hey, you will be cut off in paradise. You will be cut off. There will be no escape. In Hebrews 2:3, Paul asked the question. He said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Friends, the answer is there is no escape. There is no escape. There is no escape. You got to get it. Now, many of you may have heard of those things called the escape room. You can go and like a team building exercise, and they'll give you a challenge or a game or whatever the case might be, and they'll give you a time limit to escape, okay? It doesn't matter. When that time limit's up, whether you win or lose, they're going to let you out, right? You're going to escape. But in hell, there's no escape. Right? You see, there's no escape. If you reject Jesus Christ in this life, there will be no escape. There will be no tears of mercy. There will be no tears of grace. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. All those things that you live for, the fun and the parties and the girls and the boys and the money and the fame and all those things will be gone. They'll be gone. Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." He's a consuming fire. Listen, there's no escape. You're guilty. Guilty, 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 no parole, not getting out, not going to happen. Every person that dies without Jesus Christ will have their time here in hell. I want to move on here to the fourth point. I want you to see that the reality that hell is full of soul winners. I want you to see here that the reality is that hell is full of soul winners. Let's finish this section up. Luke chapter 16, look there in verse 27. It says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You see, that rich man, he was a soul winner now, wasn't he? He wanted to go and his brothers, but it was too late. It was too late. There was nothing he could do about it. Abraham tells them, "Hey, listen. Hey, they have Moses. They have the prophets. They have the scriptures. Right? They have the scriptures. Like us, we have the scriptures." Right? The rich man argues, says, "No. If somebody would just go from the dead, they would believe." But Abraham said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Now, how many people have you ever come in contact with? "Oh, if I can only see a sign." Right? "Hey, if I can only see a sign, if God will only show me a miracle, I would believe." But the Bible says, nowhere in the Bible does it say, if you see a miracle, you believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, you got to have the gospel. You got to have the Word of God preached to be saved. It's only by the Word. Because remember, even when Jesus rose from the dead, so many people did not believe. Okay? Man's unbelief is not due to a lack of signs. It's due to their love for the world. Their love for the world. Now imagine, you're a man running towards the gates of Noah's Ark, right? Noah has his ark. And God shut the door and the floods come rolling and the waters come in. A man comes and pounds on that door screaming, "Let me in. Let me in." But it's too late. God already shut the door. It's too late. Right? It's too late for this rich man here. He wanted to warn his brothers, but it's too late. So now it's up to you and I. Now it's up to you and I. God gave us the command. Jesus gave us the command before he was lifted up to heaven. In Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go, go, 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 go." Right? Get it. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Right? Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the gospel. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, he says again, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Hey, listen, what is my point here today? My point is hell is a reality. There are people dropping off every second of every day, and now it's up to us to go and tell them. Now it's up to us to go and tell them. I got one more point I want to get here through today, and it's just basically letting you know that hell is real. I want you to turn to John chapter 14. Turn to John chapter 14, and I want you to see here that hell is real. Look there at verse number 1 in John chapter 14. We'll wrap this up here. John chapter number 14. John chapter 14, look verses 1 and 2. I want you to see here. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And this is what I want you to get. You can underline it. It says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Listen, Jesus gave us the warning. If it was not so, he would have told us. All right, he's telling us here about the mansions that are awaiting those that have been born again. But listen, if hell was not real, he would have told us. But he did the opposite. He told us and warned us. And so I got a bunch of verses for you. So write these verses down and you can look at them later. But I want you to see that hell is real. Hell is a place where their breath will be a living flame. Isaiah 33:11. "Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you." We'll see everlasting burnings in Isaiah 33:14. "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" A place where they can never repent in Matthew 12:32. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Well, see, it's a furnace of fire in Matthew 13:41-42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place prepared for the devil and his angel in Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. A place of everlasting punishment in Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We see a place of torment from our text in Luke 16:23, in a place where they do not want their loved ones to go in Luke 16:28. We see a place of blackness and darkness forever in Jude 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. A place where they have no rest in Revelation 14:11. A place from which the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever in Revelation 14:11. A place where they gnaw their tongues in Revelation 16:10. A place where they curse God in Revelation 16:11. A lake of fire in which people are cast alive in Revelation 19:20. A bottomless pit in Revelation 20:1. Hell is a lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. A place where all murderers, liars, fearful, and abominable will go, Revelation 21:8. A place of filthiness, Revelation 22:10-11. And we could go on, but hell is a real place. You got to get it. Hell is a real place, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not want you to go to this place. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? You got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You can do that here today. You can escape hell. You can be saved here today. You say, I'm already saved. I'm a Christian. I've been born again. Well, let me ask you this. Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you holding anything back? Why are you holding anything back? Are you living life like the very next moment we could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ giving an account of our life? Hey, if you're saved and you're going to heaven today, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but what are you doing for the Lord? Are you living for Him? Hey, maybe it's time we just laid it all on the altar. Maybe it's time today we just say, all to Jesus, I surrender. Right? All to Jesus, I surrender. Maybe that's what we all need to do. Right? We just need to all surrender to Jesus. That's the reality of hell. Jesus doesn't want you to go there. He's paved the way for us not to go there. But you get to choose. We all must choose here today. Let's pray.